Welcome to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping Orange County, with your host, Don Camber.
Hello, live from the OC Talk Radio studios at UCI's Beal Applied Innovation Center. I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Don Camber with another great guest positively impacting our community. Today, I welcome Hydrocephalus Association past board chair Brett Weitz. He's the head of content, talent, and brand sales for X, formerly known as Twitter. He joined the Hydrocephalus Association board after his youngest daughter was born with hydrocephalus, a neurological condition that has no cure and where the only treatment option requires brain surgery. The Hydrocephalus Association's mission is to find a cure and improve the lives of those impacted by the condition. Thank you, Brett, for being on Impact OC.
Thank you, Don, so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Brett, please share how your daughter being diagnosed with hydrocephalus propelled you to become involved with the Hydrocephalus Association.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. So it's about 11 years ago, my beautiful daughter was born, second daughter, and we were about 3.5 weeks into her incredible life. She has an older sister, and we couldn't have been more excited to have her. And she started vomiting, and we didn't know really what was going on. So we went to the pediatrician, and she was at that point starting to get dehydrated. So they sent us to the ER, and you know, you go in, and as a parent, you're going to hear me talk about parents a lot in this, because it's a lot of this is all parent pushed initiatives. And as a parent, we were obviously very concerned and wanted to make sure she was okay. And we went into the hospital, and you've got, you know, a almost 24 month at home and now a 3 week old, and you're trying to figure out what's going on. And we actually were told at one point that it was a stomach condition. And so we were at UCLA, and she had a small stomach procedure. And in the recovery of that procedure, a really brilliant pediatrician came in to check her and looked at the top of her head. As a mom, I know you know this, there's that soft spot on their head. And he said, well, it's, you know, interesting. She's been here for a couple of days. It may just be over fluids, but it looks a little boggy to us. We're just going to go do an ultrasound real quick and see what's going on. And, you know, you go send her in, you do a couple of tests, and about an hour later, the world descended on us and our lives changed forever. And they came in and everyone's gloved up, and she'd had a bleed somewhere in her brain. And they're telling you that she's going to need surgery, and you're going to be talking to a neurosurgeon, and you're hearing words and things that you've never heard in your life before. And you're now wondering if this child that you've been waiting for so long is going to make it through the night. And it was sobering, to say the least, as you can imagine. And I remember saying, can I just speak to a neurosurgeon? Can I just speak to a neurosurgeon? And this incredible neurosurgeon from UCLA came walking the door, and it was like a halo, like this angelic halo came in the doorway. And I was like, oh my God, this gentleman now is going to help our daughter. And so he said, let me talk to you and your wife outside. And we sat down on this bench, and he said to me, said to Farah, my wife and I, he said, so she's got a condition called hydrocephalus. And I said, I don't know what that is. And he said, ultimately she's had a brain bleed, and she's got too much fluid built up in her brain. So the body processes so much cerebral spinal fluid a day, and your brain absorbs it like a sponge, and it basically goes up through the ventricles and it cycles through your body. We don't even know. It's about a Coke can worth of cerebral spinal fluid a day. And the bleed had prevented that absorption from happening. And so her brain was just starting to swell. So it wasn't allowing it. And her hair was starting to fall out and her head was getting bigger. He said, so I'm going to make an incision in her brain. I'm going to put what's called a shunt into her brain. And then we're going to figure it out from there. And I said, I got to ask you a question. Like, is this something that's going to be hanging out of her body? Again, I'm a new dad, and I've never even thought about this. And he said, no. This is something for her boyfriend to find it someday. And in that moment, what I realized was not only was my child going to be alive, but there was a future for her. And I sat there that evening with her, and I said to myself, as my wife was taking care of her other child, and then we were going to switch, we did this kind of high five exchange every night, I never want another parent to feel the way I'm feeling, and what can I do to help, and what can I do to mitigate the pain that I was feeling, the sadness I was feeling. And so I went online, which is never a good idea, and I looked up hydrocephalus, and it was like, you know, every horror story you can imagine. But what stood out to me was the Hydrocephalus Association. And ironically, they were having a walk in, like, you know, a few months, whatever it was. And I realized that I could maybe raise money, and maybe I could help drive an initiative, potentially help find a cure. And so I, at the time, had a job with a great Rolodex, I would say. And so I really went after it. And I found the Hydrocephalus Association. I ended up raising a bunch of money for this walk in Southern California that was put on by the Los Angeles Kings. And Jennifer Pope has now become an incredible friend of ours, and she drove the initiative. And I feel like I found the Hydrosalpha Association, but ultimately they found me and my family. And they were there for us every step of the way. And so in her first 6 months, she had 4 brain surgeries. And then we just kind of have watched her ever since. And you watch her as any parent does, but we watch her like a hawk. And it's, you know, can't have an iPad next to your head. You got to make sure, you know, roller coasters are funky. You got to make sure that, like, you know, her eyes, it's the litany of it all. But that's how I found the Hydrosalpha Association.
And she's going to live the rest of her life.
She's a stud. She's an incredible human being. She's a dancer and a volleyball player and a basketball player and flips and backflips. And she is, like, you know, the world does not stop for her. And she is, she's an incredible human being. And she sees the world through a very different perspective than I think a lot of people do. And she sees it purely and beautifully. And she's an incredible angel. Yeah.
And she's going to live the rest of her life with this condition.
100%. 100% live the rest of her life with hydrocephalus. And, you know, we monitor that. But my goal and part of the initiative of the organization is to cure hydrocephalus forever.
How do you cure such a thing?
So right now, the only potential cure is brain surgery, is the implementation of a shunt or something else called an ETV CPC, which is like a cauterizing of the brain, which is not part of the brain, which is invasive. It's all invasive. And so we're trying to find the least invasive path for these children, because we have people that are sit in our community who have had upwards of 140 plus brain surgeries, and they are struggling, you know, they struggle on a daily basis to try to kind of find normal. And in 2024, when we're able to put people not only back on the moon, but we're able to have in real time experiences, and you know, you could have anything from Orange County sent to, you know, anywhere in Southern California to your door, food, groceries, doesn't make a difference. It feels awkward and a little bit strange that we can't cure this condition. So we're going to do our best.
Is she going to have brain surgeries in the future?
We don't know. So we hope and pray not. She is an incredibly functioning, high functioning, beautiful person, but you never know. You kind of just hope and pray that that's not the case. We're diligent parents.
Right.
Yeah, diligent parents as far as kind of making sure that she's always going to be good.
Does someone develop it in adulthood, or it's only developed when they're child?
They do. So it's, you know, it's, Dawn, it's such an incredible thing what we've learned over the course of many years. But, you know, there's currently around 800,000 older Americans that suffer from something called NPH, which is normal pressure hydrocephalus. And essentially what that is at any point in any stage in your life, you could essentially develop hydrocephalus. And it's misdiagnosed frequently for dementia and Alzheimer's. I mean, it looks like dementia. It feels like dementia. It walks like dementia. It, for all intents and purposes, would any brilliant neurologist or neurosurgeon would say that's probably what it is. But if you do a scan of your brain, what you'll realize is your ventricles are swollen, and through the course of a ETV or a shunt placement, your life comes right back to you. And I know, you know, music is a passion of yours as well, and great story about an incredible pianist who really started to lose a lot of motor skills. And his family thought he had Alzheimer's, and he was going down. He was really heading down quickly. And someone said, "Have you had your ventricles scanned?" And he went and got his ventricles scanned, and sure enough, there was an enormous amount of cerebral spinal fluid in the brain. And he had a shunt placed, and within 2 weeks, he was back at the piano conducting beautiful symphonies and music, and it all came back. His life just returned to him. Now, that's not every situation, obviously. But those return to normal is a high probability after a procedure like that.
And is your daughter back to normal?
She's incredible. I mean, she's, you know, you would never know. You would never know.
Is she aware?
She is aware. She's she is aware of her condition. She's incredible about it. And so we, a few years ago, she was asked at school. She was given an assignment at school to kind of share something that she had not shared with anybody. It was kind of like a really cool experience in third grade. And so a lot of kids were probably like, "I have this stuffed animal," or, "I, you know, wet my bed," or whatever it was. And she was really nervous for the entire weekend leading up to that event. And she was going to share for the first time with other kids that she had this condition. And she went to school and she articulated exactly what it was and what, you know, what her journey had been. And they loved it. And they just thought she was the coolest thing ever. And I think that she's the coolest thing ever. I think both of my girls are incredible. And my wife, obviously, who's basically gotten me through this whole situation. But these kids are just resilient. And yet they shouldn't have to go through something like this. And so We have a ton of research that's going on through the association. We've converted basically, I think it's $14 million in donations and funding through the years into $74 million in grants to try to get to a place where we can rid the world of this condition. And we're not stopping till it happens.
What are some of the impacts you've done in Orange County?
So good news, bad news, Orange County is one of our bigger markets. So we have a lot of incredible people down here that we love. We just had our 40th anniversary of the Hydrocephalus Association, which was started by Russell and Emily Fudge and Cynthia Solomon 40 years ago in San Francisco. And in Anaheim, we had an incredible gala celebrating the journey that we've taken from 1983 to 2023. And how impactful, I think they were overwhelmed to see what the journey has been. So we had a huge Orange County contingency. We have one of our board members, Dr. Mike Mahonin, who sits on the board, one of the premier neurosurgeons in the game, is on the board of CHOQ down here, and one of our most valued board members and incredible human being. We also have an incredible walk on October 24th that we do for HA, which is a big, it's a happening down here.
And you guys, where is this walk going to be?
The walk this year is, that's a great question. It's in Huntington Beach. I don't know exactly, but if you went to hydroasoc.org,
right,
as we get closer to October 24th, the walk will be posted. It'll be in Huntington Beach. We have incredible donors, beautiful families, great kids. And the walk experience is like something you've never been a part of. It is just these conditions, all conditions, they don't judge socioeconomic. They don't judge race and religion. They don't care. And so you find yourself seated next to some of the most influential people and some people that are just trying to get along and get by in life and who are struggling with hospital bills. And our goal is to help, as an organization, to help all those people share the same amount of research opportunities, the same amount of educational opportunities, and be there as a support mechanism through these journeys. And so I've had the honor of being able to talk to moms and dads who are early days into their journey and share some of my experience, because I think that's how you pay it forward.
What about the research program?
Our research program is incredible. So in 2015, maybe probably even before that, one of our board members, a gentleman by the name of Paul Gross, who is like a personal hero of mine, who actually put me on the board and is an amazing man, really was the driver of the research program. And what he realized was it's great to do support and education. That's exactly what you want to be as an organization. But where the change quotient sits is in research, is in going to neurosurgeons and neurologists and scientists and engineers and figuring out how we can rid the world of this condition. And so he really went after research. And he was the jet fuel behind our research initiative. And since then, we've put into place, in 2015, we did these innovator awards, and we've found ourselves really with some of the brightest brains in the game, no pun intended, but some of the brightest brains in the game coming to the table. And what you're finding is there is this, as you open up opportunity for scientists, what you start to build is an opportunity for innovation. And what innovation starts to build is like cross-discipline conversations. So where now you had someone, we have a great scientist, one of our innovator awards, Dr. Bonnie Blazer-Yost. And Dr. Bonnie Blazer-Yost was a diabetic researcher looking for cures to diabetes, because that's big, sexy. Diabetes is, big and has huge funding, and cancer has huge funding, and heart conditions have big funding. Hydrocephalus, not cool. Nobody talks about it. And so she was doing a trial with some of her rats, and she found that in one of her drug trials, the rats were getting hydrocephalus. They were developing hydrocephalus. And so she figured out, how do I make the antidote to that drug? And will it reverse course? And what she realized is, yes, it does. And so now all of a sudden we have a drug in trial that reverses the course of hydrocephalus in rats, and we're going into larger animals, and then soon we'll be dealing with human trials. And we found all of a sudden now you've got someone who never would have seen that her life was heading into the world of hydrocephalus. And now not only is she on the forefront of that, but she could be the pioneer of the first ever drug that allows that condition to be reversed. And if you could rid the world of brain surgery for children, I'm not sure what would be a better day in the world as a place for me and my family. I think it would be kind of incredible. And so we're really hopeful that the amount of fundraising that we do in Orange County, Southern California, across the country, and globally, truth be told, really gives us the opportunity to make that a reality at some point.
And it could potentially help your daughter.
Amen. Amen. Help my daughter would be incredible. I mean, that's why I'm here. Help my daughter. Yep.
Talk about treatable dementia.
So the treatable dementia really goes to the NPH side of the shop. And I think that that is, you know, it sounds like a huge headline, treatable dementia. And people think like, that's really, and ultimately what it is preventative care. It's proactive. It is, if you start to realize that you have a couple of these traits, if you realize that, you know, your gait and memory and speech and the things that really align with what the Alzheimer's kind of list of not goods is, or the dementia list of not goods is, what you just need to be proactive about is like do a full analysis, is really get yourself to a neurologist that will go through the full analysis and that will do the you know, a CT scan or an MRI or an ultrasound to see what your ventricles are looking like. And if they are, you know, in those situations, you're almost hoping that they are, because there's a treatment for it. And again, as I reiterated before, what a transformation to be able to say to someone or a loved one. And I think we saw it a couple months ago with Danny Bonaducci, who we all remember from the Partridge Family fame, as you and I, you know, grew up with that.
Yeah.
But it is to see, and he'll say like the transformation, his doctor is one of our board members. Incredible.
Why, does he have it?
No, Danny did. Yes, Danny does. So Danny Bonaducci has it. Yeah, and so Danny just kind of was treated for it and had brain surgery and is now kind of coming back to where he is. And it's really important and it's very impactful when you see these kind of people coming back from life in a very different way. And so you really think that you're heading towards the end, and now all of a sudden you've been getting this kind of extension of a runway for your life, which is incredibly impactful.
What types of support and education does the association provide to the community?
Thank you so much for asking. So we have every year, every other year, we do something called HA Connect, which is this kind of incredible convention. And if you've this year, it's actually in Tampa, Florida, July 25th through the 27th. Mark your calendars. And it's an incredible opportunity to really engage with people that are like-minded. So when you're sitting there, it's like a 360 degree experience. In our organization, our CEO, Diana Gray, puts on this, and our COO and CFO and our incredible support staff put this incredible opportunity on, where it gives people the opportunity to connect not only with other parents that have had children that go through this, but patients to connect with patients, kids camps, kids to connect with other kids, and scientists to be able to present latest findings, whatever those may look like. And so it's a place where we can all congregate, and it's hundreds and hundreds of people. Our last one was a couple of years ago in Texas, in Austin. It was an unbelievable experience. We've done them. We had one in OC 2 years prior to that, in Anaheim. That was incredible. And it's just an opportunity for people to get together. But one of the opportunities that I like the most is when, it's funny actually, because you guys in your building have Medtronic. Medtronic is a shunt developer. And we sat with one of the engineers from Medtronic, and he said, what do I need to know? And I said, well, this is what I would ask you. I said, I would ask you to go to whoever in your pulmonary division or whoever in your cardiac division and ask them what disciplines and what technologies they're working on. Because then you could see if there's something like Dr. Bonnie Blazer-Yost did that's applicable to our condition. And he said, it's so funny, like a lot of people, we just segment ourselves at different floors. And the idea of doing this kind of cross-pollination and getting fresh eyes into a technique or fresh eyes into a device is really impactful. And that's where I think we've had a lot of incredible moments happen in our HA Connect, where something transformational comes out of that 3 or 4 day opportunity that, you know, the experience that we create for everybody. So that's in July. But on a kind of day-to-day basis, if you went to www.hydroasoc.org, we're available all the time, and there's someone fielding calls, and it is from CEO to board of directors and chairman of the board to everyone launches in and is open to making these phone calls. And we are a parent-driven organization. We have incredible scientists and neurologists who are our Sherpas through this process. And they guide us, and they're on our board with us, and the parents are and they see that they get to be the kind of guiding light of it all. But parents are really the kind of the thing that pulses this thing to the next level.
What kind of limitations does your daughter face because she has this?
She has to love roller coasters. That's not great. Roller coasters are not great. She's definitely, we're fortunate in that regard. And, but roller coasters are not great. Can't have a magnet next to your head. You know, it's MRIs are funky because it resets the device in her head. And so it has to be reset every couple of years. And
how is it reset?
So it's reset through a device. So she has what's called a Codman, device in her brain, and it's got a certain setting. And so you basically take it's almost like a series of magnets, and you put them on, and it resets the pressure gauge in her brain. And so a neurologist or a neurosurgeon, or most of the time, a brilliant nurse. The nurses are your saviors in a lot of places, because the doctors are going to 1,000 miles an hour, and they're brilliant human beings, but the nurses are you talk to all the time. And so they reset it, and then she goes about her life. And so, her limitations physically and mentally are none. She just lives knowing that there's a possibility that her life may, someday change and may have to adjust, and we'll go from there.
But people can live long lives with this?
Very long lives. Absolutely. People can live to, very, very, very tall, what we would consider a very normal, long, long life. But it needs to be treated. It needs to be taken care of and treated very seriously.
And have you seen her interact with other people with the same condition?
At the walks, yes. It's like this incredible, we have some dear friends of ours who we've gotten to know through the walks, and seeing the kids kind of talk to each other and getting a sense of how, it's like unspoken word that they have, and this language they realize that they're kind of in it together. My older daughter said to me one day, I was the past board, obviously, a past chair on the board. And I said to her someday, she was like, I really want to help, Daddy. What can I do? And I said, you tell me what you want to do. And she said, I want to be the chairman of the board of the Hydra Selfless Association. I said, you got it, girl, whatever you want to do. And so it become a family event. But we are also, it's incredibly important as my daughter, my younger daughter gets to be older, that we honor her wishes about who knows how people know and what, where she wants to, how she wants to live. But she's, as I said many times now, she is a stud of a young girl, and I learn an enormous amount from her daily.
Do we know how people develop it?
There are post-hemorrhagic, which is what Emmy had, is ultimately post-bleed. And so ultimately that is somewhere at some point she had a small trauma and the bleed begins. And that is, once the bleed begins, it's tough. And so, I've spoken to many people, a lot of soldiers, unfortunately, that were deployed have come, they have limited brain injuries, LBIs, and they come back and they develop hydrocephalus because they've had brain surgery or something has occurred, and whatever it may be. But it's so many different, you're playing in so many different worlds, and hydrocephalus is almost the outcome, whether that be cerebral palsy or hydrocephalus as a whole, spina bifida. There are just different capabilities. There's different things where hydrocephalus becomes the result of that condition. And so you end up getting X and you live with Y. And so then you're, so we see incredible children in wheelchairs, and we see kids that can run from, point A to point B, no problem, and everything in between. And adults in the same way.
So we don't know the symptoms.
Symptoms are, for Emmy, it was vomiting and extreme headache and skull growing, really growing. And we were watching that happen, and hair falling out. So that was more obvious for us. At pediatrician appointments, they measure the skull for a reason. That's why, because they're looking to see what the making sure the skull is growing at the right part. Hers was doubling over days. And so that's why we were in full panic. And so I have this picture that I carry with me at times where it shows after her first surgery, her four platelets of her skull basically reset. But on top of it, it looked like this very cool angel on top of her skull where everything was kind of settling in. So it was awesome, but I wish I was not having to deal with that, but it was an awesome moment. But it is, for NPH, it really is about gait and speech and memory. And again, no dissimilar, unfortunately, to Alzheimer's and dementia diagnosis could potentially look like.
Every day, do you live thinking your daughter has this?
Yes, I do. And that's how my brain is wired. And so I'm also, because I'm part of the organization and constantly in it, in the best possible way, I'm working to get us out of this. I do think about it often, but I think about it in she has hydrocephalus doesn't have her mentality. And that's how we live our life. And so when I see her, I just think about, she's a constant reminder of how blessed we are that to take each day as it comes. And that's the lesson that she's taught me.
Do you believe ultimately there'll be some kind of medication that'll make it easy?
I do. With every ounce of my body, I do. And the more we can get the donorship opportunities out there and the chance for us to get more donations or more grants from the NIH or the Department of Defense, whatever, you know, however we can figure it out, it is, I believe that we have an opportunity with brilliant, I see the scientists that come through. I see the engineers that come through, and I see the doctors and the neurosurgeons and neurologists that come through. It is an opportunity for us to really amplify the possibility of cure with more donations. And I think, again, the more we get awareness out there, which is a huge thing for our organization, that people just know about it, as you and I were talking about, like, it's not top of mind for most people. And yet it should be, given how many folks have it and what the possibility of it getting, of people getting it later on in life.
And would you say most people who have some connection to it are getting involved with the association?
Oh, yeah, most of the time, yes, absolutely. That's our constituency is basically parents and people that have been a part of it, and or really incredible doctors who believe that there's an opportunity for us to see the other side of this. And so our mission becomes their mission, our fight becomes their fight, and they're part of our team, and we rely on them. I mean, our board, I've yet to be in a board meeting where tears weren't shed. And so I think we appreciate them so much, but we also just see the value of what we can all do together, which is the most important thing.
So you're very grateful.
Yes, beyond grateful. Grateful to be here too, so thank you.
Thank you, Hydrocephalus Association past board chair Brett Weiss, for being on Impact OC. And I thank everyone for tuning in. I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Dawn Camber. Have an impactful day.
You've been listening to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping our community. Right here on Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio.